If you want to find out what's going on in the legislature regarding a certain bill or an area of personal interest, or want to let your legislators know your feelings on an issue, a good way to do it is through the Legislative Information Office. There are 12 of them around the state, open all year, but naturally they're especially active during the legislative session. Trudy Kane is the information officer at Fairbanks' Legislative Information Office.
It comes under the Division of Public Services of the Legislative Affairs Agency, and we are a public service office, and we try to get information concerning legislation that is pending or being acted on in the House and Senate. We have public service messages whereby people can come in and write out a message. Generally, these are limited to 50 words, and we send them down on our computer to our legislators in Juneau. We also get copies of reports that are presented to the legislature. We get copies of audit reports that are presented to the legislature, and we can help people understand the legislative process if they come into the office and ask questions.
If a person wants information on a specific bill or bills, it helps to already have some information. The more, the better.
Well, it always helps if they do have bill numbers or if they've seen something regarding pending legislation to help us track it down. But we have some pretty good detectives in this office and throughout the statewide network.
Those information detectives can also trace down past legislative action all the way back to statehood. As with their other services, since they are a state agency, there is no fee. For people wanting to react to pending legislation, the office conducts weekly teleconference sessions. The legislative delegation gathers in Juneau, and interested citizens gather in their local legislative information office.
People can come down to the office and select any subject they wish or ask questions concerning any legislation and get answers.
I attended the first part of that CNRA committee meeting yesterday morning, and I had to leave because I had a meeting of the Gas Pipeline Financing Committee. They did not sign out the bill yesterday. They did discuss it. I only really am talking about one bill mainly. I think the number's 580. That's the one that would set up the unorganized boroughs. And there's been a lot of disagreement on the committee as to exactly what ought to happen there. And I don't look for any really fast action on that package of bills.
Teleconference sessions are also held as a kind of public hearing.
When a legislative committee decides that they want to hold a public hearing on one of their bills and do it over the teleconference network, they then send the information to us or they send it to the press, the media, so that people are aware there will be a teleconference held on it. And then people can come to our office and testify on a bill or certain legislation without the cost and expense of traveling to Juneau. It makes our legislature much more accessible.
Making the legislature and information on legislation more accessible to the public is the purpose for the Legislative Information Offices. It's a way of moving the Capitol without moving to Willow. Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. March may seem a little premature to be doing the rutabaga boogie, but some folks like to plan their gardens well ahead. Alex Scala of the Federation for Community Self-Reliance in Fairbanks is one of those advanced planners. He's organizing a downtown community garden project for this summer. 4.5 acres of private land along the Chena River has been donated for the purpose. It'll be subdivided into 120-by-50-foot garden plots. Each plot will be supplied with water, the land will be tilled and ready for planting, a 4-foot-high fence will go around the periphery, and there'll even be a live-in caretaker for the project, Scala himself. Besides boogieing among the rutabagas along with the other gardeners, Scala hopes that people will get something to eat out of the deal.
It's the hope that with this opportunity there'd be a greater amount of food production occurring in the Fairbanks area for feeding the Fairbanks residents.
Why can't people just do this themselves?
Because there are quite a number of people, especially in town, who don't have access to land that they could garden on.
Scala is not setting parameters for the kinds of people that will be eligible for membership in the gardening community, though he is encouraging senior citizens and low-income people to apply.
The way we're working it right now, it's a first-come, first-served basis.
Is there a fee for the...
Yes, there is. There's a $20 rental donation.
For the fee, gardeners will get more than the plot and assistants working it. They'll also get a newsletter with gardening tips and information on activities that will be taking place at the site.
We have scheduled a total of 16 workshops, ranging in everything from buying seeds and starting transplants to building an energy-conserving solar greenhouse, which will be free to garden participants.
A community garden project may be new for Fairbanks, but Scala says it's an idea that's definitely taken root in other parts of the country.
I believe there are over 500,000 community garden sites in this country alone. So it's kind of a new thing here, this quote-unquote community garden. The last big rush we had with them was the Victory Gardens during and after World War I and World War II. But this sort of thing is occurring in Europe quite extensively and has been for decades and decades. My philosophy with the whole thing is that I believe in cooperation amongst people for a common good, and this is one way that people can cooperate, and I think it's going to be real exciting, and I just hope it works out fine.
Alex Scala of the Federation for Community Self-Reliance's Community Garden Project. I'm Karen McPherson in Fairbanks. It should come as a surprise to no one that Fairbanks is in an economic slump. Buying something at its regular price is an activity relegated to the rich and the masochistic. Wait a few days and the item will undoubtedly go on sale. And even the sale items will go on sale again. Local fast food restaurants have sales too. Coupons to cut from the newspaper or month-long specials at prices lower than the grocery store. And with the proliferation of new shopping malls, the downtown looks forlorn. To arrive at a plan for revitalizing the downtown area and the economy, Economic Research Associates of California was called in, that is, hired as consultants for a $100,000 fee, funded entirely by a grant from the Economic Development Administration. The final plan will be presented to the borough in May, at which time people can accept the recommendations or look elsewhere. Dan Steven, a senior associate of the firm, came to a meeting of the Farthest North Press Club on Friday to talk about the areas he'll be looking at for turning around an economy that's had declining employment since early 1975.
Revitalization of downtown Fairbanks, expansion of the Fairbanks International Airport, expansion of tourism and recreation, potential for development of mineral resources, improvement of transportation, service transportation in the greater area, improvement of agricultural and forestry production, and support and expansion of the programs of the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
The report that he presents in May will detail how to approach those topics.
At that point, we will submit a report which recommends actions, which recommends organizational responsibilities for those actions, which identifies financing. And that will be essentially the action plan.
The idea, he says, is to give advice on action that can be accomplished within the community. So the scope, rather than addressing a conditioning plant or the pipeline, for example, is on tasks that can be accomplished in a relatively short time frame. The goal is to get off the boom-bust cycle and achieve economic stability. Both the urban and rural areas of the interior are being studied. Interviews have been conducted, the borough's socioeconomic indicators compiled by the Information Office have been reviewed along with other data, and now that information is being sifted through.
We have to sit down now and really think about what we've heard. There's no arcane or mystical step to this. We have to rely on our experience in identifying problems and opportunities.
One of those opportunities is tourism, and along with that, an expansion of the air terminal to accommodate increased air travel. According to Stephen, there is, quote, a surprising lack of the kinds of facilities that people would come to Alaska for. things like staying in someone's home, as is possible in many European and Scandinavian countries. And then there's the Bush experience.
There is the need for facilities and programs to get people out into the bush. After all, they came to Alaska to have the wilderness experience. I guess the good news is that there are a lot of opportunities. Right now, it really is underutilized. Right now, there should be facilities for people arriving on international flights at the airport. The airport expansion is a major key to this.
For air travelers wishing to get that wilderness experience, Stephen has been holding meetings with village representatives and has found some villages willing to accommodate tourism.
They did not see a problem with establishing country inns, much like what I saw throughout Asia when I went through Asia once. Out in some very rural areas, that this would be generally disruptive to areas. Obviously, if a village didn't want that in its area, it just wouldn't happen.
Stephen saw no conflict between what he called an economic turnaround and preserving a way of life. It's a conflict that some feel could occur not just in rural Alaska, but in downtown Fairbanks as well. Talk of covered walkways as an aspect of so-called beautification is not the same as the historical preservation that many favor for the city. What type of development does occur as a result of the recommendations made by Dan Stephen and Economic Research Associates will undoubtedly be closely monitored by various interest groups, and the action subsequently taken on those recommendations remains to be seen. Karen McPherson in Fairbanks.